Feel the flow of 3.0.
A lot has happened in the world of Chikara since we last talked in June, so we are back today to talk not just about the upcoming Chikara weekend, but all the news surrounding Chikara in the world of wrestling and beyond, potentially. My name is Kevin Ford, and joining me as usual, a little bit further down south than I am, is Justin Houston. What's up, Justin?
Not much. Enjoying Chikaratopia so far. Enjoying it a lot more now that I found my Chromecast, which was just rando stored in a box somewhere. I had to tear through my entire closet to find it, but I found it, and it's glorious.
How do you not just, like, unplug it when you're not using it and keep it by your TV or somewhere convenient like that?
You know, I don't know why I packed it away initially. I travel with it a lot, and so I would have it in – I thought it was in a travel bag. That's where I found my Amazon Fire Stick. I found that in an old travel bag. Went, okay, great, I have this, but I still don't have the Chromecast. I think my thought was, well, I have the Fire Stick. What do I even need the Chromecast for anymore? And that was a dumb thought.
Yes, yes it was.
Yeah, so I packed it in a box full of other sort of tech stuff that I wasn't using, like my old modem and stuff. Again, no idea why I did it. Happy that I have it. And that it works, and that's beautiful.
Yeah, good way to get Chikaratopia done. We sang the praises of Chikaratopia on the last show, and now we both have it. We're both subscribers. We both watch it. We're practicing what we preach.
It's true, and it looks beautiful. My God, I kind of wondered. I was like, I wonder how it'll look, kind of beamed to the TV. You know, having a loose understanding of Chromecast, it should be fantastic. But I didn't want to get my hopes up, but no, it was fantastic. It looks gorgeous.
Yeah, I think if you watch all their stuff, it kind of has, I know at least if you watch it on the website, it has options of going through kind of like a YouTube video, watching like 1080p or 720 or going down the line. So yeah, they're shooting it in very high quality, and it's all on there on Chikaratopia. But I guess since we're on this topic, we can start off by discussing the Hour of Power that happened. Later in June, they did a one-hour live broadcast of 5 matches, all brand-new matches, live from the Wrestle Factory to what I have to presume is an audience of fans and friends, because it was not open to the public. There was no tickets on sale and what have you, but there was a crowd. And I know you and I both got a chance to watch it live. And both you and I know a friend of mine had some issues with some of the video and audio and stuff, but you know, on my end, my internet happened to go really terrible around that time, so it's sort of hard for me to decipher what was my fault and what wasn't. But I watched it again on demand. If you are a Chikaratopia subscriber, it is on. If you go, you can watch it whenever you like. So, what did you think of it in general and the concept and all that stuff?
It did feel a little bit like that first day at Jurassic Park, where they just have every problem that you can imagine at different intervals. But I still enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot. I think it's, I think this is a smart way to present this, to test these things out. They had every issue you could possibly have, from mics going out to changing volume to being there and then not being there, to them not knowing that they were on, to camera switching, to feeds dying, to quality diminishing. I mean, everything that could go wrong did, and did occasionally. I missed a finish or two. But I'm saying all this with a big smile on my face because I really did enjoy it. I mean, granted, it was free with the subscription I already had. It's a little bit kind of built in. They could have put anything on if I had seen it, then I'd have been happy. And it did help that it got really strong by the main event. And to be honest, when it was working, it would work in like, I don't know, like 10, 15 minute patches, and something would go wrong. Like an audio cord would get pulled, or a camera would just stop working or something, or you get no audio. It was just kind of very strange, but when it was working, man, it was great. It was working really good. And by the end of it, I think it was working pretty well. And there was a good last match that featured, this tag team that I'd never seen before. And I remember I had explained to, Amy, who's also watching, I think she's watching with me, that I said, huh, these guys don't have masks on and they're new. So maybe this is the actual like gimmick they'll be working when they're, and they won. they actually won the tag team main event. Do you know their names offhand?
Sonny DeFarge and something Crummles. I can look it up real quick. Also, it was not the main event of the show. There was Fire Ant versus Frightmare afterwards.
Oh, wait. Yeah, that's true. That was a good match, too. That was a match that mattered, too. Like, it was a lot that mattered on the show, wasn't it?
Well, everything was for points, so.
Yeah.
But it was a nice mix because there was a couple squash matches. There was this new tag team debut and a surprise upset. You had Barksdale and Boar in a quite a good match, and then a really excellent main event with Fire and Frightmare. So it was kind of a nice eclectic mix of all different types of matches and things of that nature.
Yeah, that's the thing too. Is it really was a good representation of what Chikara had to offer. I remember there was one match. I think it may have been the Barksdale match. That I didn't get to see all of, so I need to go, maybe I need to go back and watch that because I just lost my feed died completely, and I had some trouble getting it back. I was also using my tablet, which I'm already it's better on my phone than my tablet. My tablet did not want to run it very well, whereas my phone, no issues whatsoever.
So well, I wonder if that's because, like, for me, my wireless was having problems, and, like, I have a tablet that only runs in wireless, my Roku only runs in wireless, but my phone has 3G, or maybe it's 4G now, either way. But, like, there was times where I pulled my phone and had no issues, but the other two, I was having trouble with wireless stuff.
So. Yeah, maybe the 4G bolsters it a little, that's certainly possible. But either way, it's been perfect for me since, and by the end of the show. And yeah, I totally forgot about that, the Fire Ant. I forgot about the show until you brought it up. I forgot about that whole experience because it sort of happened and then, well, I just sort of went on living my life. But yeah, that was really fun. And that particular tag team match was fun. And then the main event, didn't that earn Fire Ant a title shot?
Yeah, it did. So first of all, the tag team is Sonny DeFarge and Cornelius Crummles, the tag team that debuted. I don't even know how you would describe them. It's like these old timey urchins, kinda
ragamuffins, maybe. I don't know.
Sure. In the main event, Frightmare played Gatekeeper, a role that I've come to love from Dragon Gate, as I'm sure you have. A fellow stable member trying to stop the guy from getting his title shot, but Frightmare was able to beat him and get his point. And yeah, now he'll have a title match on one of these shows this weekend, which we'll discuss.
Yeah. I love the gimmick of that other team too. The whole gimmick was that they would like double underhook each other like the Vertebreaker, and they'd like do moves to the other. It was really odd. They had this very strange style to them where every one of their tag moves involved them sort of doing a Vertebreaker type thing to his own partner and like dropping him on. They did it numerous times. And I kept thinking, well, they're going to run out of ways of doing this. They didn't.
Yeah, almost too many times.
Right, to their own detriment. At some point, they should probably just do a regular tag team move. I loved it. I thought it was wacky nonsense. And it was
well, that to me is almost like Chikara tradition when they debut someone. It's like they go, they find something about them, whether it's their character or the move they do, and they just go all in on it. And then as the team kind of grows, they sort of fought. Like, you know, think about how much more Amasis and them danced back when the Osirian Portal first debuted, or Ophidian was really almost a slave to doing a lot of this snake kind of slithering and offense and stuff, and how they grew out of that as they grew. Even like Soldier Ant with the army crawling stuff and Fire Ant with being crazy. Like, at first they do it to kind of drill the point home, and then they back off on it as they grow and become better wrestlers and don't need to rely on those kind of tropes and stuff. So,
yeah, even Dasher, you know, Dasher with his gimmick, you know, all the baseball stuff. He still does some stuff, but by and large, it's kind of dialed back, and he's just interesting person rather than kind of a kooky character. So, I'm sure they'll back off eventually. But man, I love it when a good weird gimmick comes together like that, where it's just sort of nonsense for nonsense sake. I like it.
Right. So yeah, there's definitely promise there. I like the concept. It's really unfortunate too, because I know they would kind of out of the blue do test streams of some of their Wrestle Factory shows here and there. And I actually watched a bit of Tightrope when they streamed the first half of it, and it pretty much worked error free. Like, I think there was something weird with intermission that happened and they forgot to come back or something along those lines. But like, while it was streaming, it was pretty perfect. So it sucks that like the one time they advertised this Hour of Power, that's when it decides everything's going to go all haywire. But they're doing a second one on August 7th, Sunday, August 7th. So they'll have kind of a one last test run before doing the first live network special, as they're calling it, on August 21st, the same day as SummerSlam.
That's interesting. I like it. I like that. That's that'll be a good day for some wrestling. I got to be honest. At first, when you said they didn't come back, I thought you meant they didn't come back to the live crowd after intermission. They just, like, the show just ended and nobody came back out for the.
No, there's something weird, because they put like a please stand by screen or something like that, like just like a placeholder in the stream when they're going to intermission on a live show. And so, like, that's when like the problems occurred, was during that,
right?
Which obviously isn't a big deal because you're not missing anything. So at that point, like, the one error they had came at an opportune time, but it's certainly not perfect, and I wasn't expecting it to be. But hopefully with more test streams and stuff, they'll be able to work out whatever kinks they are. So when they do offer something like a full show on the 21st, it'll be as error free as humanly possible.
Indeed.
So that's that. We're going to go to the topic now that I was actually going to open the show with to kind of get it out of the way, because it's sort of a weird one. I even debated if I wanted to talk about it, but I feel like it's getting to the point where it's too big to kind of ignore, and that's that apparently Chuck Taylor is no longer with Chikara. If you read, you can read on his Twitter blatantly, he said something along the lines, I know Matthew of Botchumania had tweeted genuinely asking someone to kind of explain the Chuck Taylor storyline Chikara, and Chuck himself explained it and then said, but I'm fired or I'm not there anymore, so it doesn't matter. And, he hasn't really been mentioned and hasn't been on the show since the UK tour. He just popped up on TNA this week. He popped up in Evolve, rebranding himself as Justin Dustin, winning the Evolve Tag Team titles with Drew Galloway and stating that Chuck Taylor is dead. So, it's one of those where there's smoke, there's fire things, and, you could speculate as to the what's and the why's and all that stuff, but, when it comes down to it, it seems like Chuck Taylor, after a decade with Chikara, is no longer there, and I think that just plain sucks when it comes down to it.
Yeah, it does. There's always been, over the years, this thing about Chikara where, it, more than any other company that I can think of, where it just things can go sour so quickly and with such immediacy that you're sort of, it sort of leaves you flummoxed, several, top guys or guys you're interested in, you hear later, you're like, well, whatever happened to them? Oh, they're gone. They're never coming back. That's going to be a thing. And it sort of boggles the mind. You look at, the obvious one was Chris Hero for years, and everyone, teased this idea that he was going to come back at some point. And then you hear little bits and pieces of things from guys like Ricochet and Lince Dorado, who's, a graduate who's in the same gimmick that's in the WWE-produced, Cruiserweight Classic. No, nothing about him, no tweets, no anything from Chikara. It's just fallouts happen. It happened with Jigsaw, where it's just they're there and then they're not there. And it's jarring. I think I'd feel worse and I'd feel I'd be a lot more upset at Chikara if I wasn't confident right now that Chuck would be kind of moving on and getting a chance to do other things. Raise his profile, and cause I think the world of Chuck Taylor. If I, I'm, I said a year ago, I said if I could control three people that WWE could hire, because I don't think they'd ever put them on television, it was Chuck Taylor, Akira Tozawa, and Shane Haste. And two of those guys, one's signed, one's in the Cruiserweight Classic, and one of them's Chuck Taylor. So anything's going to happen. I want the best for the guy. But, yeah, not getting to experience him in Chikara is just a bummer.
Yeah, and when I'd heard something about it and the possibility that he was gone and not being a trainer with the school anymore, I kind of was hoping that it would be something that would blow over quickly, because I really felt at least anyways, and maybe to a certain extent still feel, that both Chikara and Chuck benefit a lot with each other. I don't want to say need, that might be too strong of a word, but, you know, I feel like Chikara needs Chuck almost as Chuck needs Chikara. Because especially at this time, I just felt like I wasn't seeing Chuck in that many places. Like, I haven't been keeping up with PWG, but I know he's been on their shows and is apparently, like, has, like, a 6-0 record right now since, like, December. And he's not even in the Battle of Los Angeles, so that's dumb. But, you know, but they don't run frequently enough to fill a schedule for somebody. And I know he's been doing the Officer and a Gentleman tag team with Dan Barry and AAW, and I think maybe a couple other places. So I was hoping that they could make amends and he could be a part of Chikara again. Also, just because I'm a big fan of him and I like the Gentleman's Club stuff, and I wanted to see this Chuck Taylor storyline kind of get a payoff. And, you know, that kind of stinks. That won't happen either, at least not for now. But the good news is like I said, Chuck seems to be back with Evolve. He got his TNA taping, so now it seems like without Chikara, at least I can surmise that he's being more aggressive about getting out there and dipping his toe back into Evolve, seeing what TNA has in store, see if that's an option. So I'm happy to see that just because Chikara is no longer part of his calendar, that he's not going away. He's at least going to expand his horizons, and who knows what doors that might open. Maybe you'll get your wish and you'll go 3-for-3 sooner rather than later. I certainly would like to see that.
Yeah, as would I. I'd love to see that. That would be tremendous and fortunate that you know. I was not super surprised by Shane Haste, because I always thought he had the look and the ability. I just thought, no, they'll never take a flyer on him. And the Tozawa, I thought, well, you hear all the stories about what Vince didn't like from the other Japanese guys that came in. You think, there's no chance. And that came to fruition. So whatever excuse you can throw out, it doesn't matter anymore. They're still a shot of them getting signed. I know I'm going to – Chikara is less for having lost Chuck Taylor. I mean, that's just the way it is. He's one of those guys that you can't replace. You cannot get another Chuck Taylor somewhere else. When we thought he was retiring, we did a large part of the show devoted to this idea of Chuck Taylor just not being around anymore, being a bummer, and how creative and how well he invests you in his character whilst also making you feel ridiculous forever cheering for him, that's tough to do. That is not easy to do. Kevin Owens kind of has the market cornered on that ability right now. He is one of a kind. And so it's good that other people see it, other companies value it. Hopefully this doesn't mean, you know, at some point they can't reconcile and see more Chuck in Chikara, because I just think that's the best environment for Chuck. Chikara is the company that rewards cleverness and creativity more than any other company, I think. So that means she'll stand out more in other companies as long as they play along, aka Trenchcoat Man. But companies that don't necessarily want to play along and want him to fit in sort of this mold or an idea of what he should be doing, won't be getting the best of Chuck Taylor, the best part of Chuck Taylor, which is just, first of all, unbridled rage, and then truly just inspiration, creativity that you don't get anywhere else. So. He was glad that he landed on his feet, and hopefully he'll land in Chikara again soon.
Absolutely. We'll see what happens in the future. We bring up the Cruiserweight Classic, and that brings me to the next topic of King of Trios, where we have the field of teams is halfway filled, 8 teams of the 16 announced as we are recording this. And we have some new teams to talk about, but the latest one they announced Wednesday night during the Cruiserweight Classic is a team representing the Cruiserweight Classic. We have the debuting Cedric Alexander. We have we have Drew Gulak, and we have the returning Johnny Gargano. And I think it's a pretty cool team. Happy to see Gargano in this, you know, not just because he's in the Cruiserweight Classic, but because he's, you know, he has such ties to Chikara, being a 2-time former champion and all that other stuff. But other teams they've announced since the last time, and it's been a while, so I'm having a hard time remembering who we talked about. But you know, I think we talked about the Team Sendai Girls. We talked about Team Shimmer, which looks like it's going to get changed because I think Madison Eagles is out with an injury of sorts that would keep her out of King of Trios. So maybe we'll get an update about that. Or hopefully they will do the old pull a name out of a hat gimmick that they would do back in the day. It's been a long time. It's been a very long time since they've done that. So I, for one, would be happy to see that. Especially if they did something where, like, they pulled someone who's not affiliated with Shimmer out of the hat and was their teammate. That'd be pretty good. So we have Team Original Divas Revolution of Lisa Marie, Varon, Mickey James, and Jazz. That got a whole bunch of buzz when that team was announced. That's pretty cool. We have Team JWP. We have Hanako Nakamori, Manami Katsu, and Command Bolshoi. Command Bolshoi was on the 2012 version of the King of Trios Team JWP. And I think it was Nakamori who wrestled in Joshi Mania, but this would be Katsu's Chikara debut. Then we've got three Chikara teams. We have Heidi Loveless and NRG teaming together. They've been a team on a few different occasions, and Heidi decided to team with NRG for this tournament. We have the Warriors 3, not to be confused with the old Warriors 5 Dragon Gate stable, with Oleg the Usurper, Princess Kimberly, and the Estonian Thunder Frog. And finally, to the return of Chikara of the original, kind of, colony of Fire Ant, Soldier Ant, and Silver Ant. Finally, that iteration of the colony back in Chikara after over 4 years. So that's the field so far, Justin. What do you think?
It's awesome. It's really good. You know, when it was first going, I thought maybe we're getting like a Queen of Trios at this point because we hadn't gotten the male teams, which, I mean, I'm fine in concept, but it was so, you know, Joshi Mania, you hear that maybe did not so good things financially for Chikara. Who knows if that's true or not? I think it would have been cool to see them do Queen of Trios. But I guess I can say I'm glad they're not because we've gotten some really good teams in the wake of that. A lot of potential. I mean, I judge a King of Trios by how many teams I go, yep, I can see them winning. Yep, I can see them winning. And we've already got a couple of those that I could definitely see getting into the finals.
Yeah, I think it's a very good field so far, and you know, it's kind of interesting because this is the first time, I believe, where King of Trios and PWG's Battle of Los Angeles are being held on the same weekend, and so far the field for Chikara isn't hurting that much. Yeah, there might be a couple potential names that they might have used that are in PWG that weekend, but you know, even just getting the Cruiserweight Classic team, that's a good sign, and we'll see what else happens in the other 8 teams if we're gonna get some other cool names in addition to some of the Chikara teams that are going to be coming through. So I'm definitely interested to see how the rest of this field shakes out. But so far, so good, if you ask me.
Any chance, I'm going to throw 2 teams, that, and you can give me a percent chance of either one. The Elite?
0.
0% chance, okay. So we're going to have better odds then for the New Day.
Ooh, I would say you'd see the Elite before you'd see the New Day.
You think so?
I'll bump the Elite to 5%.
Really? Okay. All right.
I'm pretty sure the Young Bucks have Ring of Honor exclusive contracts, meaning that the only places they can wrestle in North America is Ring of Honor. So, like, New Japan, obviously, they can wrestle. If they wanted to go to, like, Germany or England or something, I think they can wrestle there, too.
Right.
And Kenny Omega signed to New Japan, so I don't think he has any of those restrictions. Aside from he probably couldn't appear on TV or pay-per-view for a company that isn't Ring of Honor. But, yeah, I would say don't count on it.
so they could appear as Team Ring of Honor.
You know, I actually thought when they started announcing teams that they were going to do a Team Ring of Honor and have it be three Women of Honor. So I think that there's a chance that might still happen.
Yeah, I was going to say, still a possibility. So that's cool. So yeah, New Day, you're thinking definitely not
us. Yeah, I wouldn't count on it. If there's Vegas odds, just don't participate.
You think we'll get
heavily on the no side?
Think we'll get a three-man band of Galloway, Jinder, and Swoggle?
No, I actually do think that. Well, first of all, we'll talk about Swoggle in a bit, but that is not his name in Chikara. But I did think when they started doing the WWE firings that Hornswoggle, Damian Sandow, and Curt Hawkins would be a team for King of Trios.
Ooh,
like that would be their WWF team for this year.
That makes sense. I mean, it would be WWF, but yeah, I get what you mean. That'd be a good team. That'd be a fun team.
Part of me have expected Sandow to be in the Battle of Los Angeles, or at least there that weekend, because so that's another reason why if the Young Bucks are available in North America that weekend, they'd probably be doing non-tournament stuff for Battle of Los Angeles.
Sure.
But I was also considering they were going to do the Road Scholars versus the Young Bucks on one of those nights.
You did mention that. I don't even know if it was on a podcast or just talking, but that's right. You were saying that. That's God. That would be amazing.
Because I'm thinking, you know, Cody Rhodes put out that checklist of his, and I'm thinking like, okay, they're going to give him Adam Cole, they'll give him Dalton Castle, and then the Young Bucks were another name on that list. And I think it doesn't necessarily have to be Sandow, of course, as his partner, but I think. There's a lot of potential in a Road Scholars Young Bucks match.
How does it not have to be Sandow?
I mean, Cody can still fulfill the Young Bucks obligation on his list and not team with Sandow.
I was like, who else would be the other person in the Road Scholars? I don't understand.
Oh, okay, no. Bring in Ted DiBiase Jr. for the weekend. What do I know?
Oh, no. What is he doing nowadays?
I'm pretty sure he retired. I think he's doing a career that has nothing to do with professional wrestling.
That was a good choice, I think. Anyway.
Are you not a member of the DiBiase posse?
Oh, man. You know, I could have lived my life having forgotten that forever. I don't even think the WWE Network would have brought that up. But thanks, bud.
Hey, you're welcome. That's what I'm here for.
So what do you...
It's not, but I'm here anyway.
It's kind of a bummer now because we know Chuck is not going to be in Trios, and now we know Chuck's not going to be in Bola. So, and I when I first saw that team announced, I thought, man, if that middle guy was Rich Swann, this whole team would have just been like, could have called themselves "What About Chuck?"
Yeah, really, that's a good point.
So, but it wasn't. It was Cedric Alexander.
Well, you know, Chuck could always do non-tournament stuff for PWG as well. Yeah, but it's possible.
Why? Have him in the tournament.
That's what I'm saying. But obviously, that's not what they have planned.
That's true.
He did tweet something like, "You guys know Cody Rhodes took my spot," and I'm kind of sort of thinking that's what happened.
Yeah, he tweeted that as soon as it was announced, and then when they announced the final spot, he retweeted his original tweet.
Okay.
If any of you are asking why I'm not in Bola, here's why I'm not in Bola. So,
but really, of all the people on the list who are in Bola, that's the guy you had to delete.
Chuck Taylor is the first one to go. Well,
like, really, Sammy Callahan had to still be in that?
Is he still going to be Chuck Taylor? What is he called in TNA?
I think he wrestled as Chuck Taylor.
Interesting.
And I think he wrestled Rockstar Spud. See, that's my big worries. I don't want him to go to TNA and just be like wrestling like Spud and like Grado, and that's it. Like, you know, that's easy. That's lazy.
It's true.
Of the booking, not him.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, he's an interesting character because he is basically a coward with a killer finish. Like that was his sort of initial gimmick, is this guy who is afraid of sort of everything, who could also murder you in one move. And it evolved into a guy. I mean, he's a well-rounded wrestler, but now he's sort of a guy whose arrogance, you know, carries away from him. And I don't know, maybe the last time I actually saw him hit the awful waffle on someone, but I hope they give him a chance to grow, you know, interact with different people to see how they react to Chuck Taylor is almost as much fun as Chuck Taylor himself.
Most definitely. So let's talk about these weekend shows, unless there's another topic you wanted to talk about.
No, I can't think of a thing. Where are these shows taking place?
They're taking place in Toronto, Canada.
Oh, my.
First time I think they've been in Canada in 2 years. I think the last time they were there was the two shows before King of Trios 2014. They did Icarus versus Juan Francisco for the Grand Championship. I may be wrong, but I don't think I am.
Is Mike Bailey on these shows?
He is not.
Because I remember I heard he's trapped in Canada now.
You are correct. Well, he's not trapped in Canada. He just can't go back to the U.S. because he's been wrestling in England and Germany and some other places.
What? Oh, so he can go to Europe. So he's not trapped in Canada.
Okay. Right. He just can't go back to the U.S. for 5 years.
Oh, yeah. Wait a minute. He's going to Japan. That's right. I read that. Never mind.
Did he go to DDT?
Maybe. He seems like one of those guys that you'd see end up in, like, M-Pro or something like that, or, like, Union. Like, at first, anyway. But, yeah, maybe it is DDT.
Should be Dragon Gate.
He'd work well. I guess he'd work well there, but then, you know, I feel like his gimmick would seem like mockery. I mean, I know he's got good kicks and stuff, but I feel like it would come off as like everyone would go, is he making fun of us? Like, is this a thing? Like, you know, it's not. But as soon as he started throwing those like kicks from side to side, I just see Mochizuki staring at him going, I'm going to kick through him.
Like, but see, I'm imagining him in his gi standing up to Sumo Fuji.
I mean, which is, it's great if they respect the gimmick. If they don't, and he throws a kick, and Fuji no-sells it, and just, and you know, goozles him and throws him around for a while, it goes no bueno. But, yeah, I mean, I guess he's going to be over there, so I guess we'll see. If he's in DDT, that gimmick's going to, you know, that look, it'll be very interesting to see how that plays.
Yeah, I will. Guess we'll see. But no Mike Bailey on this show.
Okay. All right. Well, there should be some sort of special guests, I'm sure. Canadian guests.
Yeah, well, we'll see when we run this down now, won't we?
All right, we'll do it then.
So this is one of their now double headers. They have a matinee show and an evening show. So the matinee card is When Nature Calls, fitting the when they are away from their home base of the Wrestle Factory, naming it after movie sequels. So we start off the show with an interesting Atomicos match. We have an all-female team of Princess Kimberly, Heidi Lovelace, and the Sea Stars of Ashley Vox and Del Miexo taking on, get this, Justin, the Hexed Men.
The what?
The Hexed Men.
Which,
as you may surmise, would be a group of men hexed by Ultramanus Black.
Oh, is that what they're called, the Hexed Men?
That is what this team is called anyways. Now, here's okay. The thing. They're pulling what the Flood did in Season 14 in that they are not telling you who is on the team. Now, the graphic shows Icarus, so we can easily surmise that he is going to be on the team. Now, amongst the two other shows, we already have Hallowicked in a match, and we have the three members of the Batiri in the match. So I imagine that nobody's pulling double duty. So let's say for the sake of argument, nobody's pulling double duty. That would leave Frightmare, I would say, is a pretty easy choice. Blind Rage, potentially somebody who would be on this team. And somebody that I didn't even know was hexed by Ultramanus Black until I watched the show, somehow remained spoiler-free on this fact. And that's Mr. Touchdown, Mark Angelisetti. He, at the end of Tightrope, the show where he defeated Juan Francisco de Coronado in an excellent main event, no DQ match, they had a post-credit scene, much like they would do in Marvel movies, where he's walking out to his car, and he feels like he hears something, but doesn't see anything, and he gets in his car, and he turns on the engine, and he puts on his lights to about to drive home, and he sees an empty wheelchair in front of his car, and then from the backseat, Ultraman is black, grabs him, and the scene fades to black. So there really hasn't been anything online about this at all that I've seen, so this might be a first for people hearing about it, but yeah, it appears that on the show, we're going to see a new version of Mr. Touchdown appearing in some red and black, probably. So that's a very interesting twist to this story in this this whole group. We didn't even consider him as being a part of this group when we talked about the Eight Pillars of Woe.
We did not. Yeah, he did not come up, I think, in our discussions of possibilities. Has anyone else kind of fallen under that spell, or anyone else that he's taken?
Well, Kobold, we saw, I guess he at the end, or during Tightrope, he came out to kind of try to knock some sense into the Battery, and it backfired, and he too got hexed by Ultramanus Black, and we saw him on the Hour of Power in his red and black and white snazzy gear. So, but he has his hands full later on, so I'm trying to build this team with guys who aren't already doing something else, and so that would make my team as it stands with people who are currently affiliated with Ultramanus Black and Hallow Wicked as Icarus, Blind Rage, Frightmare, and Mr. Touchdown.
Are the ants all getting along?
No.
Oh.
We'll talk about that on the next show.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, I guess I can't think of anyone else that would be on your team or would be on that other team. So, are the Sea Stars Canadian?
No, I believe they're from the New England area.
Really? Okay. I don't know why. They weren't terrible, but I didn't look at them and go, can't wait to see more of them. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, consider Chakar got a lot of press from Princess Kimberly winning the Grand Championship. And so they're doubling down on women involvement in the promotion, for better or worse.
I mean, I guess. It's fun. It wasn't that they were bad. I enjoyed their shtick. I don't know. I didn't expect to see them back so soon. I'll go with your team.
I feel like they've improved every time I've seen them. Like, I thought they were pretty bad in the Young Lions Cup and National Pro Wrestling Day. Pretty good against those ice creams, and really fun match with Orange Cassidy and Swamp Monster.
Yeah, okay.
So, you know.
See, I feel the same way. I when I saw them again in Tag World, I was like, okay, that was way better than what happened at National Pro Wrestling Day. So I'll look forward to it. I haven't seen another match, so I'll have to look forward to that. But I'll say, I know that Princess Kimberly and Heidi Loveless haven't been getting along either, right?
Yeah, there's been some miscommunication, some friendly fire in there.
I think that the team, the Hexmen, will win.
I do as well. For the same reasons you said, Kimberly and Heidi won't be on the same page. And I'm going to say Touchdown will give one of the Sea Stars girls some wacky finisher, either Flea Flicker or something new that he uses, because he's hexed now.
It's true. What's Flea Flicker backwards? That's what it will be called.
Burning Stickle Fritz.
No, that's not it. Don't say that. We need Pinky Sanchez to stay away from all this.
Yeah, well, he might be getting tied up with some other people.
Oh, okay. God, you're teasing so much storyline stuff.
I am.
It makes me want to turn this off and just keep watching, like, go on to the next Chikara show.
Listening to the episode, listeners, and you'll see what the hell I'm talking about.
Yes, yeah. Good teasing. All right, what's next? Oh, I think the X-Men are winning. Who do you think's winning?
Same.
Okay, all right, move on to the next one.
Four corner elimination tag team match. These are always fun. So we know three of the four teams. So they announced the Osirian Portal, Amasa and Ophidian, coming into this match with 2 points. So just one pin away from getting those precious 3 points in a title shot. We've got Hermit Crab and the returning Rock Lobster with 0 points. We've got your Canadian guest, Justin, of 3.0.
Oh, my.
Jagged and Shane Matthews coming back. They did a nice, fun promo in the event center, and I'm kind of hoping this leads to them being in the company full-time again. That would be lovely. With especially if Chuck's going to be gone, this is a nobody can take Chuck's shoes, Justin. But this is a team that kind of fits that same bill.
It's as close as it gets.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. So,
remember the promo they did with El Generico on the roof of that building?
Of course I do. It's one of the most viewed promos on my Chikara Special YouTube channel.
It's probably where I saw it, to be honest. I was probably browsing your YouTube channel. I was like, oh, yes. I showed it to Amy. God, it still holds up. It's so good. Anyway, continue. Team 3.
That's it. 3.0, the Crustaceans, the Osirian Portal, and Mystery Team.
Oh, I missed the Osirian Portal. Okay. Interesting. And so they haven't announced the fourth team.
No. So you can give me a guess on a fourth team and a team you think should win.
I always go Mystery Team. Like, I always, if they don't announce them, that's who I'm choosing. Isn't the Tabernak, aren't they Canadian?
Yes. First of all, it's TDT. Keep it family friendly.
Yeah, that's what I said.
And second of all, yes, they are Canadian. They are French Canadian.
Okay.
And that is who I am hoping is the Mystery Team here. For some reason, I don't expect it, but that's my hope.
Yeah, because you just expect them to sort of announce it, you know. So, if not them, then I am going to guess Sean Waltman and Marty Jannetty.
Wow, that is quite a guess.
Then go big or go home.
I suppose so. What about a winner? I guess you're picking them.
Yeah.
How many points?
Not all 3 points. I'm not crazy, but like one or two. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go 3.0 here. I don't think the Osirian Portal will get the third point. And in my hope that 3.0 are back in the company full time, I think giving them a win and a point, I'll say 1 point. I'll play it safe. Would be a fun way to get them back in. You can even have them pin the Osirian Portal, take away their third point, and that kind of starts a little bit of an issue between those two guys.
Now, I haven't seen the promo. Are they going to be coming back as the fun loving, hey, look how goofy we are, forget all that stuff we tweeted about team? Or are they going to be heels?
No, they're totally back to goofy booyah 3.0. Shane Matthews ran around the block, jumped in the pool, and came back.
Oh, okay. Talking so about they just Red needed Bull a vacation. Okay.
Probably talking about Red Bull and pepperoni sticks. I don't know.
Oh, all right. The classics.
Yeah, you're going to get the 3.0 you knew and loved.
Good. Well, that's good because they're really good. And with an NXT match under their belts, I mean, they gave the current champions a run for their money.
Yeah, that's one way of looking at it.
Yes, it is. Maybe not the most accurate, but it's the way I choose to live.
All right, it is a way to look at it. Why not? So we've got three singles matches to up top here. A very interesting one between Oleg the Usurper with 0 points and Officer Warren Barksdale with 1 point. That's a very intriguing matchup to me. First, you have the history of them back in February when they were in the Atomicos match with each other, and they had some really fun interplay between the two of them. But I feel like Barksdale's been getting quite good. I feel like I've been happy with his matches and in a way that they're better than I usually expect them to be. And like the Gulak match that he had during Anniversary Weekend, I particularly enjoyed quite a bit. And I feel like him and Oleg I really liked Oleg versus Jigsaw from Tightrope. So I feel like these two have potential to have a really good match here. And that's something that I think a lot of people probably won't pay much attention to. But I think it's going to be one of those things that people really enjoy on the show, that they'll surprise people with the match.
I hope so. Because, yeah, I haven't been super high on Barksdale, but do you think he's going to win?
No, I think Oleg will win.
Yeah, because even his finish requires lifting a guy. That's lifting a guy like Oleg. That's going to be a tricky situation. So, I'll go Oleg wins.
We've got a very interesting singles match here. Cobalt with 2 points. So winning this match will give him a grand championship match. As we said, he is now hexed. He is now part of the Nightmare Warriors, the Hexmen, what you want to call him, and he has turned evil. And he'll be facing another man who has turned evil since we last saw him, Evil Uno, formerly Player Uno, in a more sinister-looking outfit. I believe he comes out to a version of Bowser's music from so yeah, there's all that. And obviously you and I, big Super Smash Brothers fans back in their Chikara days. It's been since October of 2010 since Uno and Dos have been in Chikara, so
wow.
Pretty cool of Uno and that they're coming to Toronto that he'll be able to get on the show and face Cobalt, and with both of them being pretty evil, there's probably going to be a lot of chicanery in this match.
It makes me feel so old, like, to think about it in those terms. It's been like 6 years. Good God. Where does the time go, Kevin?
Behind you.
Well, I guess so.
That's how I think of it. Just like, go forward. Everything else is just behind you.
Well, you can't even go forward. You can only be in the current state that you're in. It's not like you can change speeds.
I guess not. What's kind of interesting to me, though, is that the Super Smash Bros. Last match was against Daisy Hayes and Del Rey. But the night before, they faced the Battery of Oberyn and Kodama in a very great tag team match. Very underrated match. So I think it's kind of fun that Uno's first match back in Chikara since then is against Cobalt, the Battery member who hadn't even debuted yet when that match happened.
Wow. Maybe they bumped into each other backstage. And this has been brewing for like 6 years.
That's a long time to hold on to some hatred.
Well, he's evil Uno now. Look what it did to him.
That's your theory?
Yeah, it consumed him. So, anyway, I mean, do we really think Cobalt's getting a title shot?
Yeah, that's the thing is, no, I really don't. But at the same time, with Hallowicked being champion, him getting 3 points doesn't necessarily mean he'd get a title shot ever.
Yeah, that's true.
Because he'd probably have another singles match and lose them all.
Double DQ. That's my. They both cheat and they both get caught and the match gets thrown out.
I'm trying to think if a double DQ has ever happened in Chikara. I'm sure it has where it's like a no contest or something, but off the top of my head, I'm having some difficulty.
Right. It's a battle of evil, and they'll be evenly evil.
I'm going to say Uno wins. Just give the Canadian guy a win in his home country. Make it so Cobalt doesn't have a title shot, and then Evil Uno will have one dangling point on the board forever.
Oh, yay! What everyone wanted!
Exactly. Now we're at our main event, one they've been building to somewhat heavily on videos and through Twitter, because it involves two guys who each have 2 points, and the winner will come out of it with 3 points in a title match. And I believe it's the first time ever singles match between Drew Gulak and Dasher Hatfield. And that, I think, will be really, really good. That's just two guys who always do really well in the ring. Dasher's been super underrated, but I think this match will hopefully be one of those that opens a lot of people's eyes, whether it be because Drew's in the Cruiserweight Classic or Evolve, or people just tend to take him more seriously. I'm hoping this is a match where people who don't see Dasher like you and I do, or a lot of other Chikara fans do, really see the potential he has as a wrestler. And I think he's going to win this one.
Well, yeah, there's a question I want to ask, but I can't ask it. So instead, I'll move on. And I'll say, yeah, I think Dasher will too. I don't know whether he's going to win the championship or anything, but it kind of would make sense for them to, if they want to get the belt on Dasher, to kind of hot. You don't want Dasher beating Princess Kimberly, I don't think. Just had less fanfare, maybe. But yeah, I'd love to see that. Dasher's only had one shot at the championship,
wait,
right?
Hold on. You know Hallowicked's the champion, right?
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying you hot shot it to Hallowicked, and then Hallowicked loses to Dasher.
Oh, no. I wasn't trying to imply that Dasher was going to be the next Chikara Grand Champion.
Oh, I am. That's what I'm doing.
Oh, okay.
Because I really want it.
Dasher's had two chances because he had a match against Kingston when he was champion as well.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I was thinking that was the other one that he had.
And then he had a one with Hallowicked in Providence last year.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's the one I missed. All right.
Yeah, because you didn't watch much Chikara last year. Yeah, that's the one that they did in Beyond Wrestling's building.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's actually, I was just thinking about that the other day. I thought I can go back and watch all those shows that I
at least cherry pick the really, really good stuff.
Well, that There's no reason not to go through them now. Listen, my girlfriend falls asleep really early in the evening, more on work days, like especially like early in the week work days. So there are times when I just have like hour and a half to myself, and now I'm going to be filling that with Chikara. So I'm looking forward to that immensely, going through all of those. But getting caught up with the current stuff first. I have to say Dasher winning as well makes a lot of sense. I'd hate to see him lose again to Hollow Wicked too, but what are you gonna do?
Yeah, and actually I can say the reason for Dasher. So I think that they're going to headline the August 21st special with Dasher versus Hollow Wicked for the title. I think that first. But that finishes up this show. And now we circle to the evening show, which is called Back in the Habit. Hold on. Sorry, I had the card in front of me. So I'm keeping the theme with Dasher versus Hollow Wicked here because there was a promo on Tightrope before Fire Ant NRG versus Hollow Wicked and the Materi, where Mike Quackenbush approached Fire Ant, having some concern over all this Nazmal Doom business, as he put it. And Fire Ant told him, "Don't worry, I got this." He kind of walked away. But I think Mike Quackenbush would have a lot of faith in Dasher Hatfield to be somebody to take the title off of Hollow Wicked if Hollow Wicked retains over Fire Ant, which would help lead to that main event. But Mike Quackenbush's worry over the Nazmal Doom guys also led to this tag match we have on the show, the Colony of Silver Ant and Worker Ant versus the Materi, Barbarian, and Kodama. Now, you had asked when we ran out of the King of Trios teams if all the ants are getting along. Worker Ant was pissed when he was left off the King of Trios team. Wrote a blog about it, basically saying as such, questioning why he was not on the team when Soldier Ant, who had basically abandoned them for a year and almost hurt him, was on the team. So Worker Ant is not too new pleased here. So Mike Quackenbush, seeing that blog, posted a blog of his own, basically saying, you know, I've had issues with partners in the past, and I know the best place to deal with this issue is on the battlefield when you guys have a similar goal, a similar enemy, blah, blah, blah. So I'm going to kill two birds with one stone here because I don't know what's going on with these Nazmal Doom guys, but I want to cut them off. I want to beat them while I can. So Silver Ant, Worker Ant, I'm going to have you guys become a team so you can try to mend whatever's going on in the colony, and you're going to take on the Materi to help fend off some of these Nightmare Warriors, Nazmal Doom characters in the meantime. So that's a pretty interesting story going into this. Neither team have any points, but I just don't see how the colony, I don't see the colony getting along happening here, and I think the Materi are going to beat them.
Yeah, I don't see them getting along either. As soon as I sort of saw that blog post and found out what was going on, I felt the same way. I don't know what the end game is, whether it involves the still unforeseen, maybe other ants cast aside, forming their own sort of team, like Missile Assault Ant and the like. But anyway, we'll probably get more into that soon, too. but in this case, yeah, I don't expect everything to just get patched up. And that'd be 3 points for the Materi?
No, both teams have 0 points.
Oh, really? Oh, I thought the Materi had 2 points. Okay.
No, the Materi in England on the last show, they won their third point in an elimination match, and then NRG beat them.
Oh, okay. Then I definitely think the material wins.
Yeah, but I like this isn't just like, it's a tag match for points. Like, there's a really good reason behind it.
Right.
So, speaking of ants, we have Soldier Ant with 1 point taking on Juke Joint Lucas Calhoun with 0 points. We kind of saw Lucas Calhoun go through sort of a trial series with a bunch of singles matches in England with varying results. But he comes into this weekend with 1 point against Soldier Ant. That'll be a really interesting matchup, those two. I really don't know. I really don't know in my head how I expect that match to go. But for some reason, I feel like Soldier Ant's gonna beat old Calhoun.
Have you seen any of those singles matches on your the recent DVDs?
Yeah, I've seen them all. DVDs.
All right. Okay. What did you think of them?
All of them were pretty good. Some better than others. I don't know. There's just something about Ikarus singles matches this year I haven't really liked. So I didn't really think his Ikarus match was okay. Was all that great? Like the Ikarus Missile Assault Man match from Tightrope was a big time mess to me.
Really?
There's just something about him where he's not. If he's not in a match with Eddie Kingston, or he's not in a big Nightmare Warriors kind of multi-man, or with the dugout people, I don't know. Something's really off with Ikarus to me. So, but I liked his match with Heidi quite a bit. I thought the match with the real Chuck Taylor was fun, and then the Hermit Crab match at the end was just like a goofy 5-minute thing, but it was all character work and it worked. So they were all very different matches, which I really appreciated too. So I think he's becoming a very more well-rounded wrestler. I like him. So I'm interested to see how that works out with Soldier Angel.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how they mesh as well. Neither one of them have a point, you said?
Soldier Angel has 1 point.
I don't even listen. clearly. I'll say Lucas Calhoun gets the win.
Okay, yeah, I mean, no point in not disagreeing. That would be a really cool upset for him, I think, to get it
here,
but... I don't know. So you've got another interesting singles match here. No points for either guy. Missile Assault Man versus Pinky Sanchez. Now, the reason I say this is interesting is because Pinky Sanchez left the BDK hoping to find new partners. Specifically, he cited guys that he had become buddies with in the Infinite Gauntlet. And he and Arctic Rescue Ant teamed up in a 4-team elimination match in June, and they didn't win, but I guess he thought that team went okay. And after Missile Assault Man lost to Ikarus, Arctic Rescue Man came out and I guess tried to console him or talk to him, and Missile Assault Man just bailed. So I feel like Pinky Sanchez serves as a link between the two of them. And I kind of feel that we're going to see here the starts of what will be an Arctic Rescue Ant, Missile Assault Man, Pinky Sanchez triumvirate. And kind of all having that weird background of we used to be ants, or we are ants currently with one of them, and I feel like that's going to be a thing, those three becoming a unit together. And so I think we're going to get a singles match here where it's good, it's a fine basic singles wrestling match, but it's there to build to something bigger.
Interesting. Okay, I like that idea, a lot. It is interesting that Arctic is still an ant. They're definitely not. And whether that plays into, a potential storyline with the current colony is interesting as well, considering the strike that they're going through. I thought another interesting route would be briefly go back to that colony match, if they were super successful together. Like, if they were really dynamic as a tag team, and they sort of decided to like, change the team again, or, like, the two of them were like, we're going to leave, like, Fire Ant off, or something like that, and the team just kept changing for weeks and weeks as different partnerships formed, but anyway.
Kind of like how, like, Dasher's Dugout team named in.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they lobby for different things, and before finally settling on Dasher's Dugout again. So it just keeps changing whoever has the hot hand, essentially, whatever groups do. I thought that would be kind of cool. This match, I'm glad they're doing something with Pinky Sanchez, because I think we've expressed great fondness for him this season. I don't know whether, without seeing it, I don't know whether winning or losing would help his cause or not, but I am always going to vote for Pinky Sanchez winning matches. So I'm going to say Pinky Sanchez wins.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you because, like, if Missile Assault Man just beats him, A, why would he then join him? Because I'm fine without you, obviously. I just beat you, so see ya. But I think if Pinky Sanchez beats him, maybe that's a moment of clarity he needs. Like, I could see Arctic coming out again and him and Pinky being like, yeah, and he's just like, nah, man, and bails.
Right.
And then eventually later they'll figure something out. But I think Missile has to lose for this story to be what I have it laid out in my head.
Right.
We are in agreement. Say what?
I said we are in agreement.
Yes, we are. So you've got a debut in our next match. For what seems like months, Chikara would tout on their Twitter that the big deal is coming. Didn't really know what it was. Was it an event? Was it a trio? Was it something coming to Chikaratopia or another thing? Turns out the big deal is a person, and that person being the former Hornswoggle of WWE fame, who famously for me went on record of being a huge Chikara fan, even during his WWE tenure. But now he'll be a part of the Chikara roster, it seems, calling himself the big deal. No other name going along it with now. So when he was revealed on Twitter, Juan Francisco de Coronado, of all people, got into a little bit of a spat with him on Twitter, saying that he's the only big deal in Chikara. So that's a match. The big deal, former Hornswoggle, taking on Juan Francisco de Coronado. And Juan Francisco and the big deal both have no points as they go into this. This will certainly be an interesting dynamic to watch. We don't really know what the big deal's character is going to be. You know, obviously the size mismatch adds something to this. Is the big deal going to be a Technico or Rudo? Something's up here. And one thing that I kind of thought was, you know, Chuck Taylor, trademark, has said that he is going to be somewhere on these cards. And for some reason, I feel like I've seen him either tweeting about the big deal or retweeting it and in favor of him. So I feel like that he might be involved somewhere in this match. But I can't, my brain isn't able to put all those pieces together into something coherent. But I feel like that's going to be something somehow.
Interesting. You know, sometimes Chikara messes with your perception of reality. You know, you have Pinky Sanchez as a time-traveling Ant-Man. But that it did not really. Then it turned out it didn't really happen. He wasn't an ant. He was just a guy in a costume. But it still messes with you because you go to that place. And so when I first thought the big deal, I thought, oh, you know what would be great? If Hornswoggle wrestled him in like a big mech suit. And those don't exist. Like, that's not something that exists in the real world. Hornswoggle can't like stand in a large metal suit and fight him like a battle bot. It can't happen. So I have to let that idea go and move back into reality and say that the character or what he's going to be doing is interesting. I'll also say it's interesting that you never know whether it's a storyline or not with Eddie Kingston. But Eddie Kingston does not seem pleased that the big deal has come to Chikara at all. So I don't know. Excuse me, if he's related to this or not, storyline wise.
So they're not. They saw Kingston. Oh, Eddie Kingston. Yeah, that's true. I did see that.
Yeah, so he's not fond of the big deal either. But and he isn't. He's not on the first card. Is he anywhere on this card?
No, he's not.
And they don't let Eddie Kingston in Canada, and he knows why. I don't know if that's something down the road or what, but it is very intriguing. It's a little the band is coming light, you know, much less fanfare, but maybe more intrigue since we know kind of what we're getting. We just don't know in what form and how it'll affect the rest of Chikara.
Yeah. Who knows? Like, the big deal could turn out to be Hornswoggle managing somebody. Like, you know, we'll see.
That's true. That could be the big deal. He might not be the big deal. Is that? Are we sure that's his character name?
No.
Well, maybe that's just in reference to some deal that he struck. Maybe he's the new Chuck Taylor, and he
maybe really liked the name. Maybe the big deal is Eddie Kingston, and he's giving us a red herring.
Maybe. Yeah, that's unlikely.
Pretty sweet.
They don't let him in Canada, and he knows why.
I could have sworn he wrestled for C4 not that long ago.
Nope, never happened. Eddie Kingston is not allowed in the country of Canada.
Well, I know why. I know he did wrestle in C4 for sure. Like, that happened. I've seen that.
It was someone else wrestling with the name Eddie Kingston.
It wasn't. It was him.
Well, you know what? If he was across the border, he had to get out quickly. And you know why that is?
Why?
Because Eddie Kingston is not allowed in the country of Canada, and he knows why.
Fine.
Do you think if I say it enough, people just believe me?
Yes, absolutely. That's the internet for you.
That's true. Especially if they just stop right here. My God, I've got to ask what's going on. And then it just becomes a thing. I don't know if Eddie Kingston's allowed in Canada or not. But to be honest, if I was Canada, I'd ask a lot of questions. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, the big deal, whatever the big deal is, it's going to demolish Juan Francisco. So I'd never have to see him in Chikara again.
Hey, man, you watch that Angelo Seti match. It's real good.
Which is that on the England show?
No, main event of the post England show.
Oh, yeah. I'm actually really looking forward to that. Shoot.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
I don't want to stop caring about this guy. I think I just want him to come to the ring faster. And it's kind of difficult to fast forward with when you're buffering a show. That's not fair.
It's really not that hard.
Well, it is because I'm also Chromecasting it. So it takes a little bit for everything to rethink. Like 8 to 9 seconds of like not being entertained by something.
Well, sounds like a personal problem.
Yeah, and I don't have any Pokemon near my house. So I can't just like catch a Pokemon while I'm waiting.
By the way, how lucky did Chikara get choosing this year of all years to be Pokemon themed for King of Trios?
Well, I think they knew the game was coming out. But yeah, that did turn out pretty well.
There's no way they could have known it was going to be this big.
Well, I mean, I knew it would be pretty big, but
you thought it was going to overtake like the amount of people who downloaded like Tinder and certain types of Twitter apps and stuff.
No, well, if
47 million downloads.
To be fair, if it worked, yes, but I didn't think it would work. I didn't think they'd get this app and it would work.
I never would have imagined 47 million people on Earth would download this, or it'd have people who are like my parents' age playing it.
Yeah, it's just like their other game. They had this other game. The company that made this one made another one.
Yeah.
It's just like it, and I don't like it because I'm like, there's – I think I even like said it after I finished the last one. I'm like, it's okay. But if there was little creatures I could catch, then maybe I'd play it all the time forever if it was my new existence. Yeah, that's exactly what they did. They just threw Pokemon on top of the game they already made. No, I didn't think it would work. Every time I saw it, I thought, that's not going to work like that. That's not going to be – No way. There's no way that's going to be a functional thing that people are given for free. And it is. It absolutely is. In a sense, they did luck out that the themes are cohesive.
Yeah, that's pretty good. All right, so I got two more matches here. One of them is the current champion is Dayprayos NRG, non-title match against Mustache Mountain, Trent Seven and Tyler Bate.
Ooh.
I would have not expected them to be on the Canada shows, but that is a really cool addition. They, to me, were like the trio of King of Trios 2015. They were the sole touches of King of Trios 2015, if you were to ask me.
Yes, I'm with you.
Yeah, so really excited to see them back here in this match. I think that'll be a really fun match. It's a cool match for the champions to get, too. And I'm hoping that it will – I hope this means that we're going to get to see – of Fight Club Pro Team again in King of Trios 2016. And it involves these two guys. If it's the same team again, I'm plenty happy with that. But if they want to do these two guys and somebody else, vary it up a little bit, I'm totally okay with that. But this could be really, really good.
Yeah, I agree. I think it will be. Is there any chance that Mustache Mountain could be the secret team on the previous show and earn a title shot?
Ooh, that's really interesting.
Look at what this guy did.
Ah, because that was like when I was like, oh, you know, well, remember when I was like Juan and Sabar could beat NRG and they get a title shot on the evening show?
I do.
It didn't happen, but yeah, very, very good point.
I just watched that show, and that moment's so sweet when Touchdown comes and hand him a chair and just won't give it to him.
Yeah.
Very satisfying.
It was. Yeah, that was a good match.
It was. The funny thing is I keep hating on Juan. I hate the idea of him because I can only picture him walking slowly. So as soon as I think of him, I just think of him as a person in my office walking slowly down a hallway I need to be in. And all I can do is just walk behind them and pretend that I don't hate life right now. That match was really fun. His and Juan's reaction to getting disqualified was glorious. So, why did I bring this up? I've already forgotten.
Because you were thinking that, like I thought that they would get their third point, have a title shot in the night. You think Mustache Mountain could enter that match, win 3 points, and make the evening match title match?
Yes, yeah. I'm basically sort of stealing a version of what you what you wanted to happen for this show. So
that would probably, excellent.
Yeah, that probably means it won't happen again. Because to be honest, it already happened once last year with the Punk Rock All-Stars, right? Or was that earlier this year?
That was in 2015, yeah. Well, they didn't do it the same day, but they won 3 points in a match and then challenged like the next week or 2 weeks later, whatever it was.
Oh, okay. All right, so this would be an upgraded version of that. Okay, so they could win it and challenge the very next night. I see them doing it. Yes, that's what's happening. Screw you, Marty Jannetty and Sean Waltman.
Well, part of me also thinks that they could win this match, and then that would be what gets them entry into King of Trios, beating a two of three people already on a King of Trios team.
That'd be pretty good.
So, you know, that could be something. Or that could give them 1 point, and then they could end up in the tag team gauntlet match on night three, win that, and then get themselves a title shot later in the year.
Or NRG wins, and we both go, huh.
Right.
So, exactly. Well, I think we've run down every possibility other than Marty Jannetty and Sean Waltman show up and destroy both of them.
Right. Which one?
It's a real outside chance at that, but fingers crossed.
Now I'm just going to start saying Marty Jannetty is not allowed in Canada, and he knows why.
Is that right? Yeah. Of the two of them, you think that's the one that would not be allowed in Canada?
Yeah, I'm going to say yes.
They are kind of troublemakers, aren't they?
I would say Waltman would be, here's the thing. Waltman's been on enough podcasts, and he seems like a super open enough dude that if he was allowed in Canada, like, we'd know.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
Like, you'd find out. Common knowledge.
You'd find, Jenny would find out as he tried to enter Canada. They're like, you can't come. He's like, oh, all right. It would stir right back around.
You know, I wonder if Waltman will do a commentary for Trios again this year.
I hope he does. I like him. We don't need him for like a ton of matches, but I really like him too when it's a match, when there's like comedy and stuff, because him sort of laughing along with it is just, it makes me giggle too. Like experiencing his joy of Chikara, especially when he was watching Prakash Sabar, it was very enjoyable.
Right. Like they're doing a long con with him and Prakash Sabar.
Yeah, they are. It's been pretty great.
Because he did commentary for the match at King of Trios 2014 and again last year. And it was like the first year, it was like 2014, he thought it was funny. 2015, all right, this is kind of pissing me off now. 2016, we're going to see him snap.
You think so? Like this is the year?
I think we're getting there. Sean Waltman's final match of professional wrestling to be against Prakash Sabar.
Oh man!
That is how he goes out, facing he wrestles himself. Who else gets the chance to do that?
That's true. That would be pretty tremendous.
From like Undertaker, Kane, you know those guys.
I can't tell you how many times I've explained the Kane facing himself storyline to people. people look at me like I'm wearing a pie for a hat.
And you're like, I didn't write this.
Right? I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm not telling you. I'm telling you with enthusiasm how insane this was and how bad idea it was. And when I explained to them that the wig that the fake Kane used wasn't real human hair, so it frizzed up and looked like Jennifer Beals in Flashdance. It's pretty fantastic.
I'll need to see that someday. Your explanation of this whole storyline.
It's true. It's a long one, but yeah, it's. Because it's the most ridiculous. It's a part of a whole piece. I wrote this whole thing, and then I finished, but then I realized that Kane had more terrible storylines. It was called The Desolation of Kane. It's just a long list of every bad storyline that he ever did and how he could have explained his desire not to do it.
You're thinking too small. This is a series, not just a one column.
It's true. It's really long. It's pages and pages. And I finished it in like a year and a half ago, maybe longer. And I just thought, there's more. And there is. I mean, truly, he's done even worse crap since then. It's almost unfathomable how much just a river of crap that he's gone through in his entire career, all because he wouldn't say no.
I like to imagine that, like, I've heard the theory that Kane is basically all the stuff The Undertaker said no to.
Yeah.
I'm like, that would be really awesome if that was how it all shook out.
I'd love to see how different their careers would be if Kane was the guy going, no, my character wouldn't do that. Think of something else. And then Taker was like, yeah, sure, just glad to be on the card. Sounds great. Okay, so she's going to fully penetrate me? Okay, sure, awesome.
Like, I've told people, I said, please write down the story of Kane, like the character, and have it make sense. You just can't. Although all I'm saying is that The Undertaker isn't running for mayor, and Kane is. So
is he running for mayor?
Yeah, he's mayor wherever he lives in Tennessee.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I think it's kind of cool that like he moved to Tennessee for what was Cornette's company?
Smoky Mountain?
Yeah, he moved there from Smoky Mountain. He's never left. He just fell in love with the state, and that's where he's lived his entire WWE career.
That sounds nice. It I don't know. It sounded weird before. Like, he moved here for Smoky Mountain, and I don't know. He never left. He just stayed in Smoky Mountain.
Well, you know, but it's like, you see, most wrestlers move like, oh, I'm going to move to Vegas or, you know, somewhere in Florida or or L.A. or something like that. He's like, oh, no, I'm gonna stay here in Knoxville or wherever he is.
Yeah, that's pretty nice. I think he's a libertarian, though.
He is. He was a real big Ron Paul supporter back in the day. But that's neither here nor there. We talked a lot about Kane out of nothing.
Yeah, good for him.
Well, let's talk about another big red machine in wrestling that has held championships. Let's talk about Hala Wicked, current grand champion, making his, I think, first defense since winning it back. Yeah? Yes. Going with yes. And he's facing Fire Ant in a first-time-ever singles match. I think this will be really awesome. I got super excited for this match when I watched Fire Ant and Frightmare and saw how good it was and just how really, really great Fire Ant is. And, I mean, I love Frightmare, but Hala Wicked, I think, just in terms overall, is better than him. So this match should be better than that, especially in a title match, in a main event. I think these two are just going to absolutely kill it, and I cannot wait for it. I've kind of revealed my hand with me saying I think Dasher and Hala Wicked is going to be the main event next month for who I think the winner of this match is going to be. I do think Hala Wicked's going to win, but man, oh man, do I think Fire Ant is really going to do an awesome job of convincing us otherwise.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I'd actually love to see. I'd be totally cool with Fire Ant winning and being champion. I think that'd be really awesome. It'd also be kind of cool if kind of a continuation of that storyline. Trying to think, I just try to think of scenarios where he could win and what they could do with it, you know. And if he did win by some miracle, and on the previous night those other two guys actually had a lot of chemistry together, he could just declare right there. He said, "I'm going to bow out. You three are going to be the trios team, to represent us while I'm the champion, and bring glory back to the colony, all that stuff." So that'd be kind of cool. I don't see any of that happening. I see Hala Wicked winning with that nasty never wake up move. And that'll be the end of it.
Yeah, I imagine him like doing like a super never wake up, because Fire Ant would totally take it.
He could, because he's so small. But God, it's already such a scary move. And coming from a guy who I was always like, Hala Wicked was just a little too safe with some of his moves, or they didn't, you know, his Yakuza kick I always thought was just kind of awful looking. Especially compared to a guy like, Brody Lee, who would just boot you right into the ground. And he had other good finishes. He never uses the graveyard smash anymore. That's finished. I don't see anybody use the graveyard smash, the fisherman buster powerbomb dealy.
Yeah.
I always thought that was such a cool move. And now he just murders people. That's only and he's only used it as this new iteration of Hala Wicked, right? He didn't use it before.
Correct.
And I can't remember what he finished with before. I mean, I'd see him finish people with go to Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah, I mean, that was his finish for a while. I mean, he used the graveyard smash here and there, but that was kind of he used to do a top rope fisherman's buster a lot.
That was his Ode's original finisher.
That was his original one. I remember he won he beat Fist in a tag title match for that, and people were like, "That's really weird." I'm like, "It's not weird. That was his old finisher." He used the Yakuza kick, I think, to win the Campione's Day Prayers with Delirious.
Yes, he did.
Chikara Special, of course. He's had a lot of finishers.
Yeah, he's been around the horn, but now he found one that literally murders people. And when you find a move that is called Never Wake Up, and it's a move that doesn't really articulate anything hyperbolic, that's literally what occurs. You don't deviate from that move. You build the rest of your offense around that move. It's pretty impressive.
So yeah, I guess that's our predictions, and that's the two shows. Really solid, both of these shows. Look, I'm excited to watch them.
Yeah, as am I. I do wonder if we're getting something down the line where Quack keeps kind of trusting people to end this Nas Muldoon thing, and if it keeps not working out, that he pulls the Thanos and says, "I guess I'll just have to do this. I'll have to do this myself," and makes Bryce his permanent replacement as director of fun, and comes back, just trying to get the belt off him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I totally can see that. You know, if you can't do something, if you want something done right, you got to do it yourself.
Yeah, and it's a good storyline because there's a lot of places to go. You know, who he puts his trust in is interesting. Whether Eddie Kingston gets 3 points and says, do I want this around your waist more than, are you going to go back to the lunatic that you were before? Like, this seems like a bad thing for you. And King's like, better the devil you know than the devil you don't. So there's a lot of fun places that this could end up.
By the by, while we were talking, PWG announced a couple bullet matches, and the Young Bucks are in fact on a night two, not a tournament match. So bye bye, King of Trios, hopes and dreams.
Yes, no, the Elite, but still intact is a chance to see the New Day there. 100% for sure, it is a possibility. 100%.
So this is actually sort of a triple shot weekend for Chikara, as some of the guys are sticking around for Sunday. Smash Wrestling out of the area is helping them, it's giving them the building to run those shows on Saturday. So Smash is doing a Smash versus Chikara show the Sunday after, same building with some of the Chikara roster. So I'll run through that card real quick, and we can discuss what you want to discuss, see if anything of note sticks out to you. We've got one of these matches doesn't fit the Smash versus Chikara belt. It's a tag match, Scotty O'Shea and Brett Banks versus the well-oiled machines of Pepper Parks and Mike Rollins. So that's just a Smash Wrestling match. But the rest do fit the motif. We have a four-way match, Juan Francisco de Coronado versus Tyson Dukes, who's in the Cruiserweight Classic, versus Space Monkey versus Kevin Bennett. And I know Space Monkey was a guy that a lot of people, when they announced they were running in Toronto, they wanted to see on the show. So at least they'll see him on this. A trios match, we have the colony of Fire Ant, Soldier Ant, and Worker Ant against the team known as the Pineapple Soda Club of Tarek, Sebastian Suave, and John Green. A random tag team, Dasher Hatfield and Oleg the Usurper, take on the Super Smash Brothers. So Evil Uno, and I think he goes by Stu Grayson now, does player dose, at least in this company. Princess Kimberly versus Candice LeRae. Candice will be in King of Trios later this year. We have Fist members colliding, Icarus versus Johnny Gargano. That should be fun. And, of course, Gargano will also be in King of Trios. And then we have, presumably, the main event, the Chikara Grand Champion, Hala Wicked, takes on Matt Cross. So that's the card for Smash versus Chikara. What, anything of that interest you?
Yeah, a lot of stuff, actually. That sounds like a fun show. That sounds like a fun Chikara show, if I'm being honest. So, the fact that it's a Smash show is very cool that they stick to that motif. On a personal note, unrelated to the show, let me know when that show is out.
Yeah, actually, you know, Smash Wrestling, like Chikara, they have their own on-demand service, and I believe they put everything out there usually very fast, and it's only like $7.49 a month. So I can tell you for sure I'll be getting a month subscription to at least watch that show.
Sure, yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, what about that in particular? Anything like any one match? Do you think like, man, I really want to see what that's about?
I was surprised by the main event, to be honest. But and the fact that Gargano was on the show at all was pretty surprising. What's that? What's the full match that he's having? Who's he facing?
Who?
Gargano.
Icarus.
It's just Gargano versus Icarus. Yeah, I'm. I know you said you haven't been really feeling his matches, but I feel like Icarus gets up for some bigger performers, and I'm interested to see how that plays out.
Yeah, me too. Especially with King of Trios, we're going to see those two interact in any sort of meaningful way. That would be really interesting to me.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I also wonder how all these Hexed guys, all these Nazmal Dune people are going to fit into different trios.
Yeah, well, yeah, how many trios are they going to have, or what that whole deal is going to be? Because, you know, usually the groups get at least two spots. But this is a big group. They could easily supply three.
Right, exactly. Or, you know, one of them gets sent to Rey de Voladores. But who, you know, out of these teams, you know, does the material stick together like you think they would, or do they split them up in some way? You know, that'll be interesting to see how. I have a feeling we're going to get two teams in King of Trios, but we'll see.
I think so. I mean, we're almost there, aren't we? We're almost there, because you could do the Materia's one team. You could do Hollowicked, Frightmare, and let's say Blind Rage is another one. And then you have Icarus and Touchdown.
Yeah, and they have their history as Dasher's Dugout people.
Right.
Although I kind of figure it's just going to be like Icarus, Frightmare, and Hallowicked as a team. But who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, that's something else. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to Trios a lot, especially since a lot of the – it's been a lot of outside talent, you know, and so that means we're going to get some more, you know, interesting Chikara teams. I love the team. You know, it's strange. Or caught me off guard of Oleg and the Thunder Frog and Princess Kimberly. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. So one last thing I wanna talk about, just because we don't have a Dragon Gate podcast anymore, and we don't really get to talk about the company so much, but you and I have both been watching it. We've both been really, really liking it this year. And this Sunday is Kobe World Hall, their big... the Kobe Pro Wrestling Festival, I think, is the official name. But this is their big show, basically their WrestleMania of the year. And I know, as big Dragon Gate fans, I know this is one of the years I've been most excited for the card. I don't need to run it down, but Justin, just as a Dragon Gate fan, I want to know, are you looking forward to the show? What are you most looking forward to, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, it looks like a pretty good show. Normally, I look forward to the tag match a lot, just to sort of... because they usually put on a good one. This one's kind of a strange one. It's Doi and Brother Yashi are going after the Twin Gates, being held by names escape me. I can't even remember who's holding
Jimmy Susumu and Jimmy Kagatora, the original Jimmy's tan.
I was even thinking, I was like, did they actually win those belts? They won it off some rando challenge on a house show circuit. Or maybe it wasn't a house show, but just on a circuit. They challenged them, and they said, all right, we'll give you a tag match, tag title match. they lost the belts. So I'm not super looking forward to that. But everything else, main event, Shingo versus Yamato, that's always really good. Really interesting Triangle Gate match, a three-way between the over-generation team of, I think it was Shima, Dragon Kid and Peter Casa.
Yep.
And then it's the champions who really need to stay strong. I think it's Tozawa, Yoshino, and T-Hawk.
Correct.
And then if I could, the last team, I'm trying to think what the third team was. Is it Jimmy's team?
No, it's a Tribe Vanguard team.
Oh, right. Okay, so that means it has to be Hulk, KZ, and Flamita.
Yeah, I think that's the match I'm most looking forward to on the show.
Yes, same here. That's the reason I kind of settled on it. I like it because all three teams, I think, need a win. Real bad. This is going to be Tozawa's first big match after he's going to be wrestling on the Cruiserweight Classic. And could use a big win to continue raising his profile. But then I've talked about this before, and you mentioned my theory on cementing teams, you know, Peter Casa being a big deal and that trio being a real representation of the over generation would be interesting. But Tribe Vanguard really just started. Tribe Vanguard is Yamato, BB Hulk, KZ, one of my top five favorite wrestlers on the planet right now.
Yeah, he's the best.
Yosuke Santa Maria, we're basically the KZ fan club. And
Yeah, but man, how good is Almeida? Like, he's super awesome. Like, all these guys. Like, Yamato's had a stellar year. Yosuke Santa Maria's really coming to her own this year. Keiji's been having the best year of his career. Flamita just got back from being overseas and is really, really awesome. And then, yeah, BB Hulk's a BB Hulk.
BB Hulk is in the best shape of his career that he's been in a long time. He really got, I mean, he's the same wrestler, but it's good to see him kind of, he was really kind of putting on weight. You could tell he was just kind of not enjoying wrestling, but you could tell there was something off.
There's like a new confidence to him, I feel.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, he's healthy. That's really what it is. He's healthy. He still has the best. You'll see a lot of guys do a super kick to kneeling opponents. You will see one guy do first flash.
Yeah.
First flash is still an absolute fantastic finish, included by just this wacky arm dance that I wish on my life I could simulate in real life, because I do it just before attacking all of my enemies, but I don't have the coordination. I would just fall over if I attempted it. Hulk does this before thwarting them in one kick. So I'm glad Hulk's doing well. I love this team. I hope they lose every match, though, because they're most fun as kind of these lovable losers. That's why, okay, I love it.
The KZ pinning Shingo, legit one of my favorite moments in wrestling this year.
You have no idea. As soon as that happened, I was running around. and then I grabbed my phone, and I was just going to text you, and I went, wait. Spoilers. I was like,
don't take that moment from him.
No. I was like, hey, are you up on King Gate, or what's going on? You're like, no, I haven't got to it yet. I was like, God, I'm just like thrashing around. Like, I don't know anyone else who will care about this. So, so I try. You know, my girlfriend's lovely. She'll sit and have me try to explain it, and you know, she's like, ah, that sounds really cool. No,
promptly forget it as soon as you're done talking.
Right. So it's not really cool. It's the greatest thing that ever happened in the world. You know, come on. I was happy that you got that moment and got around to seeing that. Cause man, that was so huge and so crazy. We're obviously both big fans of them, and just, I love the group of underdogs. Even though they're all fighting for titles, everyone in the group is the Triangle Gate and the Brave Gate is you know, she is champion. Yosuke is. Santa Maria facing Eita, so former millennials group fighting each other. We were going to get L. Lindemann versus Cyber Kong, which I was looking forward to. Now we're not, because Kotoka's hurt and Dragon Gate's weird. Kotoka's hurt, so suddenly Cyber Kong can't wrestle a singles match. I don't really get that.
So is Kong now in that random six-man opener?
Yeah, they wanted to keep it as just
for generation
for Cirque, yeah.
So what's Lindemann doing on the card then? Nothing.
He's facing Kanda. He's facing Candyman. I don't know why.
So, but I thought, okay. So then Kanda jumps out of this 8-man tag with the Jimmies versus this eclectic bunch of people.
Yes.
So then, who takes his spot?
Probably Stalker or someone.
But Stalker's on the other team.
Probably like one of the newer trainees,
or maybe Arkin.
No, because that would be great, and that would be an improvement. You know, if it was like, cool. Let's see.
They're gonna bring back. Well, who is that guy in Deep Drunkers? It was like Kanda, Arkin,
Sugawara.
No,
they won't
or
bring
like one of like the Nosawa Rongai guys or something dumb.
You know who I miss and I just saw recently had a match? Hub. Remember Hub?
Barely.
Hub was so good. He had a snake mask, and he did so many things with it. Like, he would choke people with it, or he as they ran the ropes, he'd grab it and he'd smack people with that. He had that long like the tail.
Yeah.
Run down. Yeah. And then he started using it where like he was losing via clothesline a bunch. And I think like Doi beat him with a clothesline and like laughed about it. So the next time they faced each other, Doi went for it again, and like Hub like wrapped his arm in the tail and like just clotheslined the bejesus out of him. It was so cool, and he did it so quickly, like out of nowhere. He like wrapped it up and just decked him with it. God, it was so cool.
All right, I get it. You really like Hub. I don't know how you got on this talk about him.
when he's not even on this show. I know you really wanted him somewhere on here, but sorry, it's not happening.
That's true. I can't even prove it's the real Hub. The mask is so detailed, and it could be anybody.
That's true. I do wonder sometimes when like a mask character comes back if it's the same person or not.
I don't think we're allowed to ask those questions on a Chikara podcast.
That's a really good point.
Yeah, we're supposed to ignore that. We're supposed to pretend that they don't wear masks.
We know, like Equinox.
Okay, that's like the one example. Name any other Chikara-related example.
I'm trying to think of how many other instances of that there would be. I can think of
zero.
One. No, I mean of the opposite of two people playing the masked character. That isn't like open. Like I think it's a pretty open knowledge that like Dragon was a million different people.
Oh, I see. I get you. Okay.
But yeah, better to just not to just stop while we're ahead.
I love the idea that like the Los Conquistadors thing led directly into tables, ladders, and chairs. If memory serves.
Sorta.
That it was like Detective Mick Foley that figured it all out.
Yeah, I would say it led more to the first. Well, I guess you could say it led to the first triangle ladder match, which then led to the first TLC.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
So it kind of got us there.
Eventually, they got. Eventually. I still remember. I remember when they announced it. I was like, my God, how has this not been a thing forever? It's just too perfect. Very rarely do wrestling storylines nowadays come together that well. But, you know,
it's good stuff. I was thinking about recently that I still can't believe that Super Shenlong 3 is Yosuke Santa Maria.
Yeah, it's a big difference. It's quite a far, far removed. And I'm really glad that they treat the character as a more than just a comedic element, but a really strong competitor who's had some amazing matches this year.
Yeah, that's a character that would be really easy to play for laughs or play in a very uncomfortable, very degrading, humiliating, and just really just bad way. And they do it remarkably well.
Right. I mean, considering the situation, I mean, certainly sometimes the heels take advantage, go a little bit too far, but I guess they're meant to in that situation.
Right. But I feel like there are lines they could cross that they have not.
That's true.
And I'm very happy they have not.
Yeah, that is. I'll give you that.
And I wonder if it's just because it's the culture, it's the company that it's a part of. Like, I feel like you can't take that character into American pro wrestling, at least not WWE, and not, and keep that level of integrity they have.
You could, they just wouldn't.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing.
I also don't know if the audience would be as accepting as the Dragon Gate audience is.
I think they would. I honestly do. I think that There are tons of flamboyant characters that get over really quickly. All that indie wrestling fans really care about is, can you work?
No. Indie wrestling fans, yes.
Right.
Main, like WWE wrestling fans, I don't know.
Sure. I mean, listen, you know, the Republican National Convention is today. And if there's any argument for that, there's a segment of the population that's terrified of anything that doesn't look exactly like what's in their own mirror. You know, this is a festival in that idea's honor. So certainly there are large elements of that in the WWE audience. I've argued that for years. But much like actual society, we seem to be pushing WWE towards you know, change for the good. And change for the better over these past. I mean, look at who the commissioners are. You look at who the top guys are. You know, the perception of wrestling versus the way, you know, theoretically Vince sees it, or at least, you know, Vince promotes it. I do find it incredible on a night they announce a new cruiserweight division, that the, you know, like two, really the only two cruiserweights that got any time on the show were just decimated by Baron Corbin. So, doesn't send the greatest message ever or confidence booster about what they're going to do for that division. But, you know, we seem to be making an impact at the very least. So that someday soon, a character like that is someone that wouldn't just be a totem for ridicule.
Right.
That if someone pitches Vince McMahon a transgender character, you wouldn't immediately go, wow, that sounds hilarious. You know, it's not meant to. Oh, boy. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. that's the problem.
Yeah.
But, hey, she's doing awesome in that match with Ayta. It could be and probably will be very, very excellent. But the title matches on the show look really fantastic.
Yeah. I don't know about the tag match, to be honest, because I don't know. I expect that to be.
Yashi and Doi's a really weird team.
It is. I thought for sure it was going to be Kong and Doi. But they did not go that route. They went with the route. I mean, I'm kind of hoping that it's a big, dirty brawl because they haven't done that in a long time in Dragon Gate where it's just I don't know if you remember when the Drunkers were going up against Shingo and Yamato. Where I think Shingo showed up in the jean shorts. Everyone showed up in the jean shorts except Yamato, who was nearly wearing just like a black thong. Like he went the opposite direction that you're supposed to do. it was really bizarre. But I don't even know if I have the context correct for why he did it. But it was really funny. And the match was really good too.
Well, it's a good thing at that point people weren't countering the Galleria by pulling down his trunks.
No, that was not that is the norm now. That's the sort of mini game that comes with the move now where if he does it too early, they start shaking the tights. He's like, oh no, oh geez. And, you know, like it's all going to come spilling out. And so it's you know, given the audience, it's both tense and erotic at the same time. So, really, that's how you can describe Yamato, erotic tension.
What was the second word?
Erotic tension. That's all it is. You just don't know whether Yamato is going to hit you with an elbow or his pants are just going to come flying off. You just can't be sure.
You don't know. Never mind. I was about to ask if Tozawa was on this card, but we already discussed he's in the triangle game match.
Yes, he is.
I just kind of figured he'd be on something more high profile, but that's pretty high profile. Again, it's the match I'm most looking forward to.
Yeah, I find it interesting that I don't know how they're going to view him, you know, after coming away from that that tournament. Will it mean anything? Three things can happen. It can mean nothing, and he just, you know, they go about their business. He gets pushed a little less because there are a lot of guys that tried to get that. And didn't, and he's the one that got it. I'm not saying there's necessarily going to be bitterness, but there was bitterness involved in those guys trying to get that opportunity. So why wouldn't there be bitterness if someone else gets it? And the other thing is they could just see the value in him, see the fact that, you know, the writing's on the wall, this guy's super popular. Maybe we should actually do something with him and make him, you know, an even bigger commodity than he already is.
All I'm saying is when Peter Casa pins Tozawa, all questions will be answered.
Yeah, that'll pretty much that'll answer that pretty straight away. I expect it to be more vague than that. I'd honestly like to see Shingo win in the main event. I think this was a natural place for Tozawa to take the championship against Shingo. It makes a lot of sense. But I you know, it's the main event of Kobe and Yamato. I expect to win here.
By the way, did the match where Shingo ever won the title from this time last year? I think he beat like Yoshino for it in August of 2015.
Right.
Did that ever air?
Well, that's a good question. I'm not sure. I can't place it right offhand.
I've definitely never seen it. but I didn't know if it was just because I missed it, or I feel like there was a big gap of stuff between Kobe World and Gate of Destiny that just never found its way online.
Well, you remember there was that time period where, and it comes up every once in a while, where you hear about new laws in Japan about them, you know, punishing people that file share and stuff like that. And so everything just goes quiet. And I remember there was a period of time where it went quiet for a long period of time. And we thought,
I remember that. Yeah.
That was a nightmare. That was a national crisis, you know, of like four people. And that was eventually that, you know, we started getting more and more, and it got back on a regular basis. So it wasn't so bad, but that might've been around that time.
Okay.
Or at least one of those times that it happens where it's like, nope, no, I can't do it anymore. Nope.
Because I think one of the reasons, you know, why 2016 has been so great to follow Dragon Gate 2, as opposed, you know, at the top of just it being really good, is it feels like we're getting almost everything now. Not every single show, but it's like there's ton. Like, if it airs there, it's here, and it's here faster than it usually is.
Yeah, it's easy to keep invested.
Yeah, it's easy to keep up to date.
Yeah.
So that's very helpful. If you, it's obviously not super readily available, but if you put some time into it, if you really care, you can find it all. And it's totally worth watching.
Yeah. Don't they still have like a service, or they still get the Prime Zone and stuff like that?
Yeah. A lot of like the Kirken. Yeah. I don't know if they do Prime Zone or not anymore, but I know like the Kirken shows air on iPay-per-view. But usually only live. They keep like the pay-per-views on demand. So
it's, yeah, so it's like tough. This one, I mean, this one will be, you know, you can pay for this one. I've done it before with Kobe. It was a lot of fun. It's a very different experience when you're kind of in it where, you know, in watching when they're watching, you know, it was very cool. If a little disorienting, because it was so early.
So yeah. Well, this year, like it's also the same day as one of the G1 tournament days. It's the same day as Battleground. There's a lot of stuff going on July 24th. And I think there's also like one or two more pro shows that I don't remember that are on that day as well.
Yeah, if you're going to do it, prepare yourself. Like I'm doing with like No Man's Sky comes out next month on a Tuesday. And I'm literally changing my sleep schedule so that I like wake up, because I can pre-download it and I can just have it ready to go at midnight. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to sleep till midnight, and then I'm going to get up, and I'm going to play until my body gives out, and then we'll go from there. That's my plan.
Well, there you go. There's your plan. But when does it start?
With the pay-per-view or No Man's Sky?
No Man's Sky.
No Man's Sky, I think, is the 9th.
Of August?
Yeah, it's a Tuesday.
Well, as long as you'll come out and do a couple of podcasts, then we'll be all right.
Oh yeah, no, that'll be fine. I'll be in rare form there. Let me tell you, I'll have explored an infinite amount of planets on no sleep. That's the best version of my podcast self, I think.
Well, Justin, if people want to read your sleepless tweets about No Man's Sky in about a month, or less than a month at this point, where can they do that?
They can do that at Justin J. Houston on Twitter. You can find also, I should just plug this randomly. You can find all my old columns as well on PW Ponderings. They're still all there. You can go through my description and my Twitter page to find them. I wrote a thing about Roman Reigns that I reread recently and thought, huh, this is still true. Years later, like a year later, this is still exactly the same as it was before. So, yeah, any of that, and Rub Raw is still in there as well. So any questions or comments or any of that stuff, keep that to yourself. I require only cat memes. Kevin, what do you got to plug?
What did you say you require only? What?
Cat memes. That's it. That's all I want.
Cat memes. I thought you said cat names. And I was like,
what? No. Memes for cats. That's
okay. Well, you can follow me on Twitter at KFord13. I still do stuff for Pro Wrestling Ponderings. I got a lot of Beyond Wrestling reviews up there now. You can go read my review of Gigantic, which just got posted. I have a review for Ripped Off in the Prime of Life this Friday. And then next Friday, I have a review of Flesh, which was their one pay-per-view they just did for WWN, all leading up to American Rana 2016. What else? You got this podcast. I do a lot of Chikara stuff on the internet too. You probably know that, but you can follow at Chikara Special on Twitter. I post all Chikara news on ChikaraSpecial.tumblr.com, all the videos, match announcements, blogs, all in one dissemination point for you. I got a YouTube channel where I upload Chikara promos. It's the Chikara Special on YouTube. Search for that out. I'll be putting up the promos from the four Anniversario shows over the next few weeks. So look forward to that. And and I do reviews of every Chikara show over at ChikaraSpecial.wordpress.com. New reviews of Tightrope in the first hour of Power on there. And I'll have reviews of all the Toronto shows we talked about, including Chikara vs. Smash. So be on the lookout for that stuff. And I think that's going to do it. So, Justin, I really appreciate you taking the time to come on here and spend a couple hours with me talking about pro wrestling.
Oh, yeah. It's always a pleasure. I always end up rambling too long about weird stuff. But you always end up riding the ship. You're a very competent podcast host.
Well, I do what I can. So we'll do this again in about a month for No One's First and You're Next, the first ever Chikaratopia live show. And then soon after that, King of Trios. So we'll see you in about a month, folks. Thanks for listening. It was the heat of the moment, telling me what my heart meant. The heat of the moment showed in your eyes. And now you find yourself in '82. The disco hotspots hold the charm for you.